I had a really good lesson, but it's going to be 5 minutes short, so it's not going to be near as good now. But yeah. All right. I'm glad to be here tonight. So if you don't know, my name is Jimmy Allen, and friend of Larry's, and I got a lot of secrets on him. So if you need to know anything, I got a lot of good stuff. So I guess he's in his camper. I don't know. Is he gone tonight? Yeah. So he told me he was up in Branson taking some good needed rest, I'm sure. So that's fun. But yeah. Try to get that where it's not too loud on me. Stop messing with it. Just leave where it's at. So you can do it. Okay. All right. I'll leave it alone. Okay. So what I want to try to do tonight, it's going to be kind of fun. So I hope. In my mind, it really is neat. And so whether that's going to come out or not, as we go through this, we'll see. But we're going to kind of have three stories going on. So don't fall asleep because you'll wake up in the middle of a story that you don't even know what's going on. So, okay, so stay awake, JP. So make sure we're paying attention, okay? So so we're going to have three different stories. So just bear with me because there's going to be we're coming together on that. So, but like always, I want to start us off with a word of prayer, if you don't mind. Dear God, I just thank you so much for today. I thank you, Lord, I thank you for the rain. And thank you for the rainbow, God, and just thank you for being able to see that tonight up in the sky and just remembering your promises, remembering the fact that you're faithful, even, God, when we're not. I pray, Lord, for forgiveness, as I know oftentimes we get, talk about in the lesson, we get sometimes separated so far that we feel like we can't come back and we can't talk to you and have a conversation and be forgiven. And, God, I pray if that's somebody in here who's feeling that tonight, that you just remove that. God, you help them to know that and to feel forgiven. And if they need to talk to somebody and get those things off their chest, that they do. And I pray, God, especially that you get me out of the way tonight of your message and of your word. God, we know that you are enough. And we pray that you just help us as we talk about you and your word tonight. It's your son's name we pray. Amen. Have you ever been busy? Somebody in the swimming? Okay, no, I heard somebody swimming up there. I don't know what's going on. Okay, no, I was kidding. Have you ever been busy and tired? Anybody in here, like, show of hands, busy and tired? It's okay if you're honest. Okay, good. I don't know why Randall raised his hand. I did not expect to see that one raised. Anyway, so it was kind of funny on the way here tonight. That's kind of what I was thinking. I was like, got in the truck. I think for the first time it feels like in a few months, and I was like, it was just, I don't know, right? It's just busy. It's a busy time in life, and things are going on. And so anyway, I don't know why I told you that. That was free. But anyway, so it's good to get with God's people. I guess that's why when my shoulders kind of dropped, knowing I was going to get to come and jump into his word and be around people who love each other and love the Lord. And so it was a day much like today. The skies were overcast, but it didn't mean it wasn't a beautiful day. It felt like there were probably over 100 people in that room. I can still see their faces. Mostly giving anticipatory smiles, sitting there on the edge of their seats, waiting. Have you ever done something really dumb, right? You ever done something kind of boneheaded, right? You made a mistake and go, oh, that probably wasn't the smartest thing to do. So my parents aren't here. I can tell a story without them being here and getting in trouble. So, and I'm so thankful, by the way, another plug, and so thankful that you guys have loved and accepted them in, even my dad. I really appreciate that part. So I'm glad that they're here. But they're on vacation, so I'm going to tell a story. So one time when I was a kid, I'll say one time, right? I guess I was known for, I was a young kid, for what they call picking your nose. Anyway, so when I was a kid. And I mean, I wasn't an Ole Miss fan. I didn't eat it. It was gross. Anyways, but so I did like, so I did pick my nose when I was a kid, and my mom and dad were just get mortified about it. They were just like, I can't believe you picked your nose. It's terrible. You know, anyways, not only were they mortified, they were embarrassed and disgusted and everything else. But I was a smart kid. I mean, I was pretty intuitive, pretty genius. And so I learned that if I take this hand and do this, like I disappear. Nobody can even know that I'm picking my nose. Well, obviously, that didn't work, right? So that's pretty boneheaded, right? I mean, that's a pretty boneheaded thing to think. But that's what I, as a kid, I remember my mom and dad telling the story that I would hide myself by putting my hand up like I couldn't see. And they're like, Jimmy, stop. We can still see you. Like, stop picking your nose. So sometimes we make really bad decisions, right? Bonehead decisions. But in my ignorance, right, it made total sense that I could get away with this. So tonight, we're going to read, we're going to go through a bunch of passages. And we're going to follow along throughout the scripture. But Genesis 3 is where we're going to jump in. Genesis chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. We're going to read where Adam and Eve made a pretty boneheaded mistake, right? Compounded by another boneheaded mistake. Genesis chapter 3. We'll start in verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat from the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will certainly not die," said the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good from evil." When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he walked in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" And he answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." So we have this really boneheaded mistake, right? So we have a really bad decision, and not only a bad decision, but we see inner sin, right? So Eve eats of the fruit, gives it to her husband, he eats of the fruit, right? And now we got this separation. They realize that they're naked, right? Anyways, they realize they're not dressed, and they make these fig leaves for clothes. And they hear God walking through the garden, which obviously was something that must have been happening on a regular basis. He was walking through the garden, and they hide, right? So they hide from the creator of the universe, which doesn't make any sense, right? But they try to hide from the creator of the universe. Let me back up just a second, too. I mentioned we're going to have three stories going on, and I also want to give you a little premises of what we're looking at. But I want us to, my whole goal for tonight is for you to see how God has been pursuing you since the beginning of time. Like, since the beginning, God's been pursuing us, pursuing a relationship with us. So Adam and Eve make a really boneheaded, silly, or terrible mistake. Not even a silly, it's just a terrible mistake. And they try to hide from God, which is so crazy. Have you ever sinned and tried to hide from God? Because if you said no, then you might want to pray about that because you just lied anyway. So okay, we've probably all done this, right? Where we've sinned, we've made a mistake, and we hid from God. And it might be that we hid because we say, well, you know, there's a separation that occurs, right? Just like when Adam and Eve, the separation occurred. Now God said, no longer can I be a part of this. I can't walk with you anymore, right? He cast them out of the garden. So this separation occurs, and we say really dumb stuff like, well, I'm just hiding from God because I sin, and there's no way he wants to be around me because I'm terrible and I'm bad and boogada boogada, right? And we make up all these things that Satan, the lies that Satan gives to us that aren't true. So we say these really silly, dumb things. He can never forgive me, right? All the things maybe you've said to yourself or you've heard somebody say. But these are lies from the enemy and not truths from the Savior. So as I mentioned, I want to talk about God coming closer today. Prior to sin entering the world, right, that he walked among his creation. Then sin comes along and the separation occurs. My wife, Ashley, is not here tonight. She's teaching a class, so she couldn't be here. So she's the only fortunate one in the room. So we met in Athens, Greece in the summer of 2001. So we had never met each other before. And as soon as she laid eyes on me, this would be a lot more fun, by the way, if she was here. I wrote this thinking she... This part, just knowing, I thought she was going to be here. She's not anyway. So as soon as she lays eyes on me, she knew that I was the one. Handsome, witty, debonair. I had to Google that one. I was a catch to be had, right? She was in Greece teaching women how to teach women's Bible class and young girls for Bible class. And I was there as a college student at Harding University summer program. We spent the summer hanging out, just kind of getting to know each other. We never met each other before. Eating a lot of gyros back when I could not get bigger when I 8 years old. Anyways, going to the beach, watching old American movies at Port Rafty is where we were at that time. So we spent the summer coming closer together, and we were as we were parting ways that summer, I thought, man, I really want to get to know this girl more. But we had known each other for a long time and never, or actually been to school in a long time and never known each other. So, but I thought, man, I really want to get to know this girl more. You see, it was a day much like today. The skies were overcast, but that didn't mean it wasn't a bright day. It felt like there were over 100 people there, crowded into that room. I can still see their faces, most giving anticipatory smiles. sitting there on the edge of their seats, waiting. So going from Genesis 3 to Genesis 12, we're going to look again, we're going to jump over to Genesis 12. We see this pattern in the Old Testament where God, again, we got the separation, okay, that occurred in the garden because of sin. And now we see God getting a little bit closer as he starts talking to man again. He's talking to the patriarchs, namely, right? We see them talk to the patriarchs. So we're going to jump through some passages here and see how God does this. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, the Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So here we see God speak directly to Abram, right, to Abraham, and tells him to leave his country, leave his people, and leave his family, right? Leave everything he has, everything he knows, everything he's comfortable with. But God speaks directly to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 26, verses 2 through 5. Genesis 26, 2 through 5. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt and live in the land I tell you where to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and bless you. For you and your descendants, and I will give you these lands and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give them all these lands. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him, keeping my commands, my decrees, and my instructions." So again, here we see God. He spoke directly to Abraham. Now he's speaking directly to Isaac. So he tells Abraham to go, to leave everything, and he tells Isaac to stay put, right, in this situation. But he's talking directly to these men in the Old Testament. Genesis 31:3. We'll turn over to Genesis chapter 31:3. Like I said, I'm sorry, we're going to jump through some of these. So Genesis 31:3. "Then the Lord said to Jacob, 'Go back to the land of your fathers and your relatives, and I will be with you.'" So here we see God speaking directly to Jacob, right? And he's telling Jacob, so he told Abraham to go leave everybody, told Isaac to stay put, and he tells Jacob to go back to the land of his fathers. But he's speaking directly to these patriarchs, directly to these men. So he's come a little bit closer from the separation that had occurred in the garden. He's one step closer to his broken creation. So Ash and I returned from Greece. We didn't ever expect to see each other again. That's kind of our joke. When we left for the summer of Greece, we said, gave her a hug, said goodbye, said, "Well, never see you again anyways," right? Because that was our big joke. We'd had a class together in college and didn't know each other. She says I was the real annoying one, but she doesn't remember anyway. So we didn't know each other, right? We had no recollection of anybody. But when we spent that summer in Greece just hanging out a little bit, we thought, man, I really want to get to know this girl more, but we kind of said our goodbyes and didn't figure we'd ever see each other again going into our senior year so of college. We get back to the States. I'm rooming with my best friend Scott Ware still. We got an apartment off campus, and Scott and Amy, or his wife now, were engaged, and Harding always brings in a hypnotist every year. I don't know, they probably changed it up, but it seemed like every year it was a hypnotist. And then I went to Uplift and every other camp up Harding ever had, so I always saw the hypnotist. And Scott's like, "Let's go to the hypnotist." And I said, "I don't want to go to the hypnotist. I've seen that guy a ton, right? Plus, I'm definitely afraid of getting hypnotized." That's another thing, probably need counseling over. But anyways, but I'm not going to get hypnotized. So I was like, I'm not going to be a third wheel because Amy will be there, you'll be there, and I'm there. You know, it's just weird. I'm not going to go. So anyways, Scott's pretty persistent, and obviously God had a bigger plan. But so I went. We sat on the very back row in the Benson waiting for Amy to show up, which never came. Anyways, that's another story. Anyways, we got stood up by his fiance. But anyway, so we sat there. And as we're sitting on the back row, we're sitting there talking, watching all these new freshmen coming in, piling in to hear to see the hypnotist. It was so cool. I mean, it was neat. But anyways, but they're all coming in, and I hear this angelic voice from beside me, "Jimmy." Anyways, okay, that's not really angelic, but you know, so way more than that. So anyways, it was Ashley. She'd come in with a group of friends. She'd sit on the back row, and she she was sitting there waiting on some people to get there as well, and she saw me, and again, so we started talking, we were laughing, cutting up, and it just went on from there, right? So I wrote down some things again. We began to call each other. I mean, we didn't have cell phones, right? So the dorm calling. I mean, we called each other from the dorm rooms and talked. She ended up going to the right church and come over to where I was worshiping at. Anyway, so we got to hang out quite a bit. So I'm just kidding. Anyway, so we got to hanging out quite a bit and talking. And I thought, man, I got to get to know this girl more. You see, it was a day much like today, but colder. The skies were overcast, but that didn't mean it wasn't a bright day. It felt like there were over 100 people there, crowded into that room, sitting on folding chairs that had been placed in rows. I could still see their faces, most sitting with anticipatory smiles on the edge of their seats, waiting. We now see God close this gap of separation. We see God enter. We're going to jump over to Exodus 25 if you want to jump over there, Exodus 25. We see God close this gap of separation that sin has created in Exodus 25. Exodus 25, verses 1 through 9. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering from me, from everyone whose heart prompts them to give. These are the offerings you will receive from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins, dyed red, and other type of durable leather, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and fragrant incense, and onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod breastplate. Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all of its furnishings exactly like the pattern that I will show you." So, we had a separation in the garden when sin came in. And we had God that was walking among his creation. And the sin comes in, the separation occurs, they're kicked out of the garden. And then we see him show back up and get a little bit closer, right? He talks to the patriarchs. He talks to the men of the Bible. And he talks directly to them. And then God comes along and he says, "Hey, here's what I want you to do." He tells Moses, "I want you to build this sanctuary, right? I want you to build this place for me that'll travel wherever you go." I mean, we didn't read that part of it, but it'll travel wherever you're going at when you pick up camp. I'll travel with you. And the presence of the Almighty, right, rests in this place and on this place. And that's what he requests, a place that he can once again dwell among his people, just not to the extent that he did before. So, however, there's still a separation, right? There was this curtain, right, that we read about if you read through that whole entire, what it was supposed to look like. There's a curtain that separates the holies of holies, right, so that God can remain his holy place, and, you know, people didn't die, because that's what happened, right, if you encounter the glory of God. So there was still a separation. 1 Chronicles 28, turn over to 1 Chronicles 28. 1 Chronicles 28. First Chronicles 28, we're going to read 1 through 7. 1 Chronicles 28, 1 through 7. David summoned all the officials of Israel to assemble at Jerusalem, the officers over the tribes, the commanders of the divisions of the service of the king, the commanders of thousands of commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of all the property and livestock belonging to the king and his sons, together with the palace officials, the warriors, all the brave fighting men. King David rose to his feet and said, "Listen to me, my fellow Israelites, my people. I had it in my heart to build a house as a place of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, for the footstool of our God, and I made plans to build it. But God said to me, 'You are not to build a house for my name, because you are a warrior and have shed blood.' Yet the Lord, the God of Israel, chose for me, my whole family, to be king over Israel forever. He chose Judah as a leader, and from the tribe of Judah he chose my family, and from my father's sons he was pleased to make me king over all Israel. Of all my sons, and the Lord has given me many, he has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord of Israel. He said to me, 'Solomon, your son is the one who will build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. I will establish his kingdom forever. If he is unswerving in carrying out my commands and laws, as is being done at this time.' So David had on his heart, God put on David's heart, right, this desire to build this temple, this solid structure. Because remember, we've been traveling, right? The Israelites have been traveling from place to place. And so David says, it's time to build something for the Ark of the Covenant to rest in. A solid place for God to dwell, right? His presence to rest. So that's exactly what David had on his heart. But he couldn't do it because he'd shed blood, right? Because he was a soldier and he'd shed blood. And so he said, you're going to use your son Solomon, right? And probably know the rest of that story. But so this is what he does, right? He sets this up to happen. Just like the transit tabernacle, right, the stationary temple would have a large curtain, though, that divided the Holy of Holies. So because there's still this separation that the sin had created, just like from the beginning, right? There's a sin separation that has occurred. So it wasn't long that Ashley had to see me every day. I mean, you know. Anyway, so she couldn't control her desire to be in my presence and hear from my wisdom. It'd just be a lot more fun if she was here. Anyway, so, and gaze upon my beauty. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so, all right. The closer we became, the more obvious it was that we needed this to last forever, right? So we began talks of that day. I called her parents on the phone. I was actually staying with my buddy at the time. Scott and Amy got married, so I got kicked out, and I was living with a buddy of mine whose dad had a house in Searcy, and so living at David Gallo's house or Freddie's house, I guess technically, we were all hanging out there, and so I said, man, I gotta call. I actually had to call dads because I actually come from a split home, so I had two dads to call. Some of you got off really easy. Anyway, so I remember I was like trying to plan it where Freddie would still be at work and David was doing something, who knows what. Anyway, so I went in there in the kitchen. Had one of those 30-foot cords, you know, so I knew I could get in the laundry room just in case somebody came and started, you know, I didn't want anybody to know what was going on. So I remember I called Ashley's dad first, and I went through this conversation. I was sweating, right, about to black out, and so I asked her dad, and then I asked her stepdad, Gary, and so I went through this whole conversation, right, I was so excited. I wanted to marry their daughter. And I don't know why. They both said yes. I don't know. They were pretty ignorant too, I guess, on that, because they didn't have good knowledge. I say ignorant as in not having knowledge, right? Anyway, so just in case it's being recorded. But anyway, so they didn't have knowledge anyway. So they said yes and allowed me to ask their daughter to marry me. So it was just one of those things where it had to happen, right? Because of this whole entire process of me drawing closer and her drawing closer to me, we had to make that happen. Now, they approved, right, and like I mentioned, it wasn't long. The date was set October 19th of 2002, and a little backstory on my history of my family is they are all hunters and all hated me for planning October the 19th of 2002. That was a terrible decision in hindsight, but anyway, so that was the date. All right, let's jump over to Luke. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly, highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the one to be born will be called Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have her child in an old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I'm the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." The angel left her. So here we see an angel of God speaking directly to Mary. It's interesting, too. Now, I haven't done a super in-depth study in this. It's just a side ADD moment for Jimmy, but it's just, it stood out to me that throughout the Old Testament, you see that God talked, we talked about talking to the patriarchs. We also see him talking to some other people, but mainly through angels. But we don't see him. It's interesting. That's why you don't see God talking directly to women in the Old Testament. And then we see in, when the New Testament comes along, right, and we see this angel, Gabriel, right, come from the Lord and speak to Mary. That's just it's just interesting. So you can study that. It's fun. Anyway, but that's just something that was interesting as I was studying this. But so God sends his angel to Mary, to a virgin, right? Not a special person, nothing exciting, right? It's just he sent his angel. And as I read through this scripture, I even read through it again, just can you imagine, right? And of course, Mary's got to have a billion things going on. First of all, she's an angel's talking to her, right? I mean, that's a pretty big deal. And then on top of that, the things that he's telling her. And you got to understand, just like all the people in the Old Testament, she was, again, probably thinking about some sort of an earthly kingdom, right? His father, David, right? I mean, all these ideas of this earthly kingdom that she was probably thinking of. But again, so he comes and speaks, this angel of the Lord comes and speaks directly to Mary and tells her what to expect and what's going to happen and why it's going to happen. So explain how the Holy Spirit will come upon her and she will be with child, even though she never had been with a man. So we see that God take another step closer, right, by sending his son to walk among us, and yet this time on this earth, right? But just like I want to be closer to Ashley, right, God had a desire to be a lot closer to his bride, right? John 14, let's jump. I think we got time to jump into this one. I want to make sure I don't time this wrong. Okay. You know what? Sorry. John 14 is we're going to be at after the bell rings. So John 14. I don't want to get in the middle of this one. So John 14. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and it's going to get good. Okay. So John 14 and we'll, whenever we come back together on that. I got 20 minutes after this, right? Okay. Just kidding. Sorry.